So now we're going to talk about suppression, all right? We have two very worthy lawyers, both of whom are from San Antonio. They claim I live in San Antonio, but obviously I live on I-35. I don't really live in San Antonio. So we have Nathan Morey from the Bexar County District Attorney's Office and Michael Gross. Michael, I've known Michael for 500 years, and he is an excellent criminal defense lawyer. He's admitted to every bar in the world, and he's a very nice, humble, great guy. Worked with him when he was president of the board for the defense bar. I don't know Nathan, but I used to work in the appellate section, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm
have your nameplate.
You do.
A collection of old nameplates, and yours is one of them.
Do you throw rocks at it?
No.
Okay. Anyway, they're here today to tell us about suppression. So thank you.
Can I take the laptop over here?
So I think a lot of this is going to kind of dovetail into the standard of review stuff we heard yesterday, and I think I saw there's a finding of fact presentation today, which hopefully we won't intrude too much on that topic. But these are just issues that are commonly dealt with at the trial level and on appeal that will help you how to prepare your motion to suppress, how to litigate it, and present it on appeal. So with a motion to suppress, we're going to start with Article 2801. That's where, that's what gives the trial court authority to hold a pretrial hearing on those motions. The defendant must be given 10 days notice and needs to have the motion filed 7 days prior to the hearing. I would take that with a grain of salt because there is a good cause. They can be forgiven for good cause shown, and that's probably a pretty squishy standard, and that translates to whatever the trial judge thinks. So I got these two cases from Michael's paper, which it's a good paper included in the materials. One of the things that sticks in my craw, probably worse than anything else at work, is when I get like boilerplate motions to suppress. They don't say much of anything, although they'll cite about 50 different statutes and constitutional provisions. And you can lose on appeal by simply filing a too vaguely or broadly worded motion. And I kind of, when I read those, I asked, well, does this also translate to pleading requirements under Article 2801? I don't know. There's not any case that says it does, but you do want to make sure that you clearly state to the trial judge in your motion what it is you want and why you're entitled to it. That goes to error preservation, but I think it also just goes to good pleading requirements in general. So this is the way I look at it here.
You know, just a couple of quick right. thoughts if I could. So, you know, for the trial judges out there or the prosecutors or even defense counsel, a couple of thoughts on 2801. You know, it's kind of a questionable gray area right now, kind of charcoal gray, if you will. You know, 2801, on page 41 of my paper, for instance, those of you that like to follow along on papers, 2801, I frankly forgot this when I was writing the paper, 2801 section 1 subpart 6 says, you know, trial judges, you have the ability to rule on motions to suppress based on the motion itself or on affidavits that are submitted, kind of like in a habeas, or on the testimony of the parties. And so in the case that Nathan was talking about, there's the Swain case on page 41 of the paper. And in Swain, you know, we defense counsel love to keep a motion to suppress general. You know, we don't want to get too tied down to the facts because we're not sure what the testimony is going to be if we get testimony. But defense counsel, I would recommend you read that Swain case because it says if all you do is cite the Constitution for the U.S., Texas, and the statute like 3822 or 3823, you could have some problems. I mean, I have been in some in front of some judges in Texas where they've said, you know, your motion to suppress doesn't seem to be very specific, doesn't have a whole lot of facts in it. What I always do, and I've never had a problem with it other than a judge questioning it, I'll say on or about this date, law enforcement officers stopped the defendant on a road, searched the car, seized evidence, things like that.